Amen. Thank you. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 15 this morning. And John chapter 15, as we're turning there, if you are 3 years old through the third grade and would like to go to junior church, we'll let you make your way out the back doors of the auditorium. Let me mention two other things before I actually read this. One is, I meant to say for our academy students, we had tomorrow scheduled to be off for President's Day, and we feel like you need a little time to rest, so we're going to keep that day off tomorrow. We think there's some folks who have some plans, so we're just going to leave it the way it is, and we'll begin Tuesday with a two-hour delay, hopefully. It's supposed to snow Monday night, so hopefully we'll be back in school before June. A lot of our students have been doing homework, believe it or not. We've had some using the website, website and using just emails. A lot of our students have had history homework that they've been doing, and so it's kind of worked out well. So they've been keeping up, and so they won't have to make up a lot of these days. We'll have to adjust in some other subject, Spanish. We're going to have to send them to Mexico for a week. But we've tried to keep them moving a little bit on some things. The other thing was the website. If you've not been on the website recently, let me encourage you to go there. I am just really excited about some of the things that are on there. And most recently, I challenged Ron Thayer a long time ago. And I was kind of prodding him to take the missions page on our website and just really dress it up. He didn't do it. He did it. I mean, it is not just dressed up, it's in royal robes. You need to go there and look at that site, and Mike Holt is just done hours of work on this, and between the two of them, if you go to Tory Barrett's page on there now, or Tory Barrett's section on there, there's a video about the ministry there. And so I would encourage you to go to that website, and as we go to our missions emphasis, there is just you can go to those sites and find out whatever you would like on those. And as soon as I get Susan motivated, she's doing some things on a news page here, and so we're still working on that one, but we've got some people helping on the website, and I'm excited about it. And it is getting a lot of exposure, a lot of people going to it, and that's what we wanted. And we're still doing things to it and constantly changing it. And so if you haven't been there for a while, go to look at it. And if you want to help with it, let me know as well. All right, Carol? Yes, on there is a, if you go on there and under what, Michael? Okay. Well, contacts? Yeah, if you go on there and there's a contact page, and if you register, and a lot of you have registered, but if you go on there and you're a registered user, you can go on there and put a prayer request on there, and that gets emailed out to folks. And so if you want to do that, we have not emphasized that a lot yet, but I like that. I think it's a good thing and an opportunity to be able to share prayer requests and praises on there. So take a look at that part of it as well. I had mentioned before, too, that, by the way, Happy New Year. That would be to Janet and Wishen. This is New Year in China. And they had a New Year's Eve party last evening here, and Christy and I came, and it was a ball. It was all decorated in Chinese words all over the place that I didn't understand. And they try to teach me Chinese every once in a while. I know as much of that as I do Korean. And Gemma's lived with us for 3 years. So I'm not doing too well in my foreign languages. But yeah, that prayer request is there as well. All right, John 15. I plan the messages out fairly far in advance, not the details of them, but just a general sketch of where we're going. And this had all worked out very well because Valentine's Day being on a Sunday, we would, putting it on the schedule, we would be at these verses specifically for Valentine's Day. And that all worked great until it started snowing. So we're going to have to skip a couple of verses, but I want to come back to those later. Specifically, verse 3 says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we've not looked at that verse. I want to maybe tantalize you with this question. Does a Christian have to ask for forgiveness for their sins? Does a Christian have to ask for forgiveness of their sins? And here is, when you start thinking through it, here is the dilemma that you face. Because you are a believer, isn't all of your sin already forgiven? So when you sin, do you have to ask forgiveness for it? Or are you already clean? I'm not going to tell you the answer. You'll just have to keep coming to church. But that verse is going to deal a little bit with that idea. And exactly what that verse is referring to is hard to narrow down, but it's going to lead us into something where we'll look at it and say, how does a Christian deal with his sin? You know you're saved, but even as a believer, I sin once a year, whether I plan to or not. And do you? Once a year? Yeah. Got some no's out there. Uh-oh. Yeah, we still have that sin problem, and we have to address that. And so we need to come back to that. But then we come to verse 4. And verse 4 was our memory verse for last month. And so let's begin reading at verse 1, put everything in context again. Verse 1 says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Valentine's Day, when we get to verses 9 through 12, we have the Lord talking about the subject of love and his commandment to love. Now, when we break this passage down, it actually is broken at between verses 11 and 12. Verses 1 through 11 would be the disciple's relationship, or the disciple being rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the command there is that we're to abide in him. Then when you get to verse 12, the command is that disciples would be rightly related to each other. And verse 12 begins that by saying that you love one another even as I have loved you. The last part of this chapter will talk about the disciple being rightly related to the world, and that is that we're to testify to the world. We're to be a testimony to it. We're not to be conformed to it. And so as you get to verses 9 through 12, he starts talking about a specific topic, and he says, what I want you to do is I want you to learn to be loving. I want you to learn how to love. And so with that in mind, I want you to look at those verses with me today, but let's put them again in the context of where they belong. When we look at the first couple of verses, we realize that this is a parable, and remember that in a parable, we're not trying to make everything mean something. We are looking for the one primary truth that this parable teaches, and that truth is that to bear lasting fruit, you have to abide in him. And so our theme for this year, abiding in him. When we get to verse 4, though, he tells us, abide in me, and I in you. And I can say, I want to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have to come back and ask, let's get some practical things here. How do I abide in him? Exactly what does it mean to abide in him? What does it mean to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's where we go to when we get to the verses that follow it. Because he talks about in verse 6 that we're to abide, if we abide not in him, he'll cast us forth. Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will. There's a promise of prayer answered. And so this abiding in him is something that we need to really understand. Well, when he gets to verse 9, that's what he's beginning to explain. He's starting to give us some details about what it means to abide in him. And so verse 9, he makes a statement that until you really take the time to look at it, you don't get the implication of it. Look at verse 9 again, if you would, please. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you, or ye, in my love. There is a tripart verse there that says, number one, I want you to understand how my Father loved me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking about God the Father loving him. He said, the way that God the Father loved me, that is the way that I have loved you. You being the disciples and you including all of the people on this earth, humankind as a whole. So as my Father loved me, that is the way that I loved you. And now what I want to happen is that as the Father loved me and I loved you, I want you to continue in that kind of love. That is the kind of love that I want you to demonstrate to other people. But what I want you to see in this is that the Lord does not give us an ambiguous commandment and say, I hope you figure out how to do it. The title of this message is The Pattern for Love. The Lord does not give us something that we're to do and then not tell us how or show us how to do it. And so let's back up to those three parts and let's look at that first statement that's made. The Lord Jesus Christ looks back and he says, now as the Father loved me. So here's number one. How did the Father love the Son? How much did he love him? How did he demonstrate it? Well, we don't have a lot of details about that, but let me give you a couple of things that the Scriptures say about the Lord Jesus Christ being loved by his Father. Many of you are reading through the Gospels, and as you read through the Gospels, you come early in each of the Gospels to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ goes to John the Baptist, and he asks John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist's response is, no, Lord, if anybody ought to be baptized, it ought to be you baptizing me. And the Lord Jesus says, no, I want you to baptize me. And the whole purpose of that is that Jesus Christ wanted to identify with the message of repentance that John the Baptist was preaching. He wanted to be identified with him because John the Baptist is the forerunner. He's preparing the way for him. And so he identifies himself with John the Baptist. But here's the point that I want you to see. The Lord Jesus walks down in the Jordan River. John the Baptist takes him. We don't know exactly how they did it, but let's say they followed the pattern that we did. He takes him and he puts him down under the water and he brings him back up. Do you remember what happened at that point? It says that as a dove, he saw the Spirit descending upon him, but there was a voice that came from heaven as well. What did that voice say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Boy, that's kind of instructive. Here's the Lord Jesus beginning his earthly ministry, and he goes to the ministry of John the Baptist, who has been preeminent at this point, and he identifies with that message, and heaven opens and God speaks. Wow. This is one of those situations where you really need to open your ear and say, whatever he says is very important. And here's what the Lord Jesus, or what the God of heaven says about his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. These are the words of the God of heaven for all of those who are around to hear and for us to read in Scripture when he comments on his Son as he begins his ministry. Let's move forward a little bit. John chapter 17. We'll not turn there. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 17. We have the story of the Transfiguration. Again, this is recorded in the Gospels. And as you read the Transfiguration, it's in some ways a little bit of a humorous scene. The Lord Jesus Christ goes up on the mountain and he takes Peter, James, and John with him. These three went with him either because they were favored or because they were weaker in their faith. When they get to the top of the mountain, the Lord Jesus begins to speak and they realize that he is speaking with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, the one who always speaks, he comes out with things he shouldn't say, but he just speaks. And here is what Peter says. He says, Lord, let's build three tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll just stay here. And the whole idea is that, wow, this is incredible. This is a scene that I can't even describe. I would like to just stay right here. I don't see any reason to even leave this mountain. And Peter's whole idea was, we've gotten here, let's stay here. Forget about the rest of the world. I'm here with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Let's just park here. Let's build a house and stay. And who interrupts him? A voice from heaven. And you remember what that voice said? You remember the one with John the Baptist. This one's probably not as familiar, but it's exactly the same. This is my beloved son. There you go. That was a nice way of saying, Peter, shut up. Listen to my beloved son. But here were God's words again from heaven. And when the voice of heaven comes and he speaks, this is what he says about his son. Twice when God speaks from heaven, he uses the exact same phrase. He said, this is my beloved son. Peter, listen to him. Stop talking. Your mouth is open and you're babbling on. You should not be talking right now. You should be listening to my beloved son. And it's one of the few times that God himself opens his mouth and he rebukes somebody and tells him, quiet and listen to this one who is my beloved son. Even in John 3:16, we're familiar with the phrase, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is the only son that he has. And he tells us twice in the scripture, he says, this is my beloved son. I love him so much that I want to demonstrate that love vocally so that people can hear and people can know how much I love the son. This is the kind of thing where the Lord Jesus is going to talk about it. You're in John 15. I want you to turn to chapter 17 for just a moment, please. And chapter 17 is what we would know of as the high priestly prayer. It is the Lord Jesus before he is taken to the crucifixion. And before he goes to the crucifixion, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, takes Peter, James, and John again, and he prays. And as he pours out his heart, as he talks to God, this is the passage where he sweats great drops of blood and where he asks, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I want to do your will more than anything else. And here is the human side of the Lord Jesus Christ struggling with accomplishing the will of his Father, knowing from his divine side that that is what he must do, but in his humanity is really struggling with the pain that he's going to go through. There is the real humanity of Christ presented here along with the divinity. But in his high priestly prayer, I want you to notice what he says. Go all the way toward the end of it to verse 23. He's prayed for us, and then in verse 23, he says, I in them, and thou in me. He's addressing his Father, God the Father, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, perfected in unity, perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here is the Lord Jesus in his high priestly prayer reminding them of something. The one thing that I know more than anything else is that as I come to this really difficult point at the end of my human life, and I know that the next day they're going to take me and they're going to beat me and they're going to pull my beard out and they're going to put a crown of thorns on my head, they're going to stretch me out on a cross, and I'm going to die on that cross, you know what I'll never forget? My Father loves me. My Heavenly Father loved me before the foundation of the world. And here is part of the motivation of the Lord Jesus Christ from his human side. He said, the one thing that I know will never change is the love of my Father for me. When you start to look at that in the Bible, you realize that the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it, but what it does say tells us that there is a pure, wholehearted, deep, personal, intelligent, enduring love that Jesus Christ was well aware of from His Father in heaven. It's very difficult for us to explain and understand the relationship between the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it is very clear that Jesus, in His humanity, knew of His Father's love, knew the extent of it, and knew how what kind of quality that love was, and knew that He was enveloped in that love, and He would accomplish what He needed to accomplish because His Father loved Him so much. So when we go back to John chapter 15 and look at verse 9, and it says to us, as the Father hath loved me, that's what He's talking about. In the first part of this tripart verse, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me. Well, how did He love Him? He was the beloved Son. He was so cared for that God twice thought it necessary to mention from His throne in heaven to those who were listening, folks, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. And when Jesus is praying, He said, the one thing that I never doubt is my Father's love for me before the foundation of the world, before this world was ever formed, that my Father loved me, loves me now, and that love will not change. That's going to be important for the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity. Because as He hangs on the cross, what's the Father going to do? He's going to abandon Him. He's going to let His Son take the punishment for our sins on the cross. And the Father is, in essence, because He loves us so much, He's going to withdraw His hands, hold back the myriads of angels, and He's going to let His beloved Son suffer and die on the cross so that our sin could be placed upon Him. The restraint that it had to take from God the Father as He watched His beloved Son die at the hands of sinful men is incredible. Because God loves His Son dearly. And like you would love your Son dearly, and you would do anything you could to see Him not be hurt, He had to make a conscious decision, I'm going to do this because I love the people of this world so much that my beloved Son, my only begotten Son, is going to die on the cross so that they can be saved. And in the first part of that tripart verse, it is telling us, as the Father hath loved me. And you understand how much the Father loves the Son, it helps you understand the second phrase in that. If you go back to John chapter 15, verse 9 again, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. This is the same way that I've loved you. This is exactly what I've done. My Father loved me, and that exact same kind of love is the love that I am now pouring out upon those of you who are following me. And so that demonstrated love from the Father, that declared love from the Father, is now what the Son is demonstrating to us. He says, I've loved you. He looks at these disciples who are now following Him, and they're getting hints of the fact that He's going to die. They know that something is taking place that very day. And He says, guys, I want you to know that that's how I've loved you. Now, when we talk about abiding in Him, we look at this from two perspectives. Here is the Lord Jesus looking back and saying, just like Dad loves me, just like the Heavenly Father, the God of Heaven loves me, that's the same way that I'm loving you. That's the kind of love that I've poured out on you. Now, if I look from this perspective, I'm looking back and I'm saying, wow, God really loves the Son. And that love of the Father to the Son is the same as the love of the Son to me. That's how much He loves me. He demonstrates it. He declares it. He shows us His love by what He does. There is an interesting pattern. If you go down to verse 10, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Well, there's an interesting statement there. How did the Son, here's the second stage of this verse, how did the Son abide in the Father's love? In other words, here's a real practical question for getting the third part of this. How did the Son abide in the Father? He said, well, I'll tell you how I did it. I was able to abide in my Father's love by keeping His commandments. Interesting statement there. Let's go back in John to chapter 8. We'll not go outside of John for this, but I want you to see some statements that the Lord Jesus makes here. Chapter 8. In chapter 8, Jesus is talking about Himself being the light of the world. In chapter 8, go down to verse 29. Talks about the fact that they'll lift up the Son of Man and they'll know who He is and that He does nothing in verse 28 of Himself or by Himself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now verse 29. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Here's the Lord Jesus saying, you know, I haven't done the things I wanted to do. I'm doing the things that my Father wants me to do. Go over to chapter 10. Chapter 10 is the passage where the Lord talks about Himself as the good shepherd and the door. Chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, or by myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of or from my Father. Here again, the Lord Jesus is looking at His disciples and saying, guys, I'm doing the things that I'm doing, not because it pleases me, not because I set up a pattern of things that I want to do, but because it pleases my Father. And I'm going to lay down my life voluntarily. I can lay it down, I can take it up, but I'm going to do that because I've been commanded to do that by my Father. These are His instructions. Let's go over a little bit further. Chapter 12. Chapter 12. After the Lord has raised Lazarus in chapter 11, and then He's going to come riding in on a colt. In chapter 12, all the way toward the end of the verse, in verse 49, or the end of the chapter, in chapter verse 49. In verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken of myself, or about myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Here He is again reiterating that, you know, guys, this is not just me making up things as I go. This is me understanding that God has a commandment, He has some things that He wants accomplished, and I'm going to do that. Chapter 14, go to the end of that chapter, verse 31. Chapter 14, verse 31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, even as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here." There He is again, reiterating, my Father has given me a commandment. Let me read verse 7, chapter 17, verse 4. You'll recognize this. "I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." So here is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, you know, I am not going to tell you to do something that I haven't done. It is, again, difficult for us to understand this relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there is no question that in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was a desire to do what His Father wanted Him to do. Now, he did not and would not sin. But He was tempted like we are. He had commandments like we have. And He says at least on four or five occasions, just here in the book of John, guys, I want you to understand that I am abiding in my Father's love. And the way I abide in my Father's love is I keep His commandments. What my Father has told me to do is what I do, and this is how I abide in Him. That's how I live in His love. It is not some mystical thing where I make this floating thing up in my mind where I'm abiding in here and I'm floating out here. I'm just doing what my Father told me to do. And in abiding in His love, I must find out what He wants, and I must do it. And so in verse 9 of chapter 15, when he makes the first statement and he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he gives us some explanation of that in verse 11. He said, you know, I have an obligation, if I'm going to abide in my Father's love, to be obedient to His commands. And that obedience led to the place of death. You know, this is an incredible thing, and I hope that the people who are here today have already grasped this concept, that here is God loving you so much, and forget everybody else that's in the room, but here is God loving you so much that He said, you know, you're going to die in your sin. You're going to pay for your sin in a place called hell. And when you go to that place called hell, you're going to spend an eternity there paying for that sin. I don't want you to do that. I love you so much that I'm going to send my beloved Son, and He is going to teach, He's going to make disciples, and then there's going to come a place where sinful humanity is going to take Him, place Him on a cross, crucify Him. I'm going to withdraw my hands from my beloved Son because I want Him to die as the perfect Lamb for you. Here is the Son. And the Son, abiding in His Father's love, looks at these men who are following Him. These 12 men, now down to 11. One has betrayed Him. And He says, guys, like my dad loved me, I love you. Like my Father has loved me, I've poured out that love on you. And tomorrow, they're going to stretch me out on a cross. And I could ask the Father, and He would send legions of angels. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to endure the cross. And I'm going to endure that cross because I love you. Because I want you to be saved. I want you to comprehend that you don't have to pay the penalty for your sin. And you have to understand how Jesus Christ was so motivated by His love for us, He didn't come down from that cross. How God was so motivated by His love that He didn't intercede on behalf of His Son. He let Him be crucified. And now He says, what I'm asking you is this. If you look at verse 9, you come to the end of that verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's how I want you to love each other. Boy, that's a tall order. I told you when I preached on the end of verse 2 that it says, you know, a branch that bears fruit, He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. That's a hard message to preach because I know that you'll never get to the place in your life where God doesn't want you to bring forth more fruit. Well, you come to verse 9 then and He says, I want you to continue in my love. I want them to be able to see the love of the Father for the Son and the love of the Son for His people. I want them to see that kind of love from you. Now, what does that involve? When you come to that, to again keep it from becoming a mystical idea, Jesus clarifies what He means. He gives us the foundation of it. Look again at John chapter 15 and go to verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. There it is. He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, that's how you're going to abide in my love. In other words, Jesus is not giving us this mystical idea of somehow you're going to float out there and abide in the love of the Father. And it's just going to be this, woo. No, it's pretty concrete. He said, and I'm not telling you to do something that I have not done. I am telling you to do what I've already done. My Father loved me. And because I loved Him and I want to abide in His love, what do? I keep His commandments. Now, I want you to continue in that love. So we go to the third part of that verse. If I'm going to continue in His love, what is required? That's verse 11. He said, look, folks, in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, or in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. There is no way for you to abide in Christ and not keep His commandments. Now, you have to get that, because our world is teaching something different. They're coming at it from a different perspective, and often they're looking at us and they're saying, boy, if we love each other, we just let people do whatever they want. I mean, they can live however they want. If people love each other and live together, well, that's okay. If people love each other and it's a man and a man, a woman and a woman, that's okay. If people love each other and they want to smoke pot, go to it. Love lets you do whatever you want to do. Love is forgiving. Love is kind. You remember all those verses? And so you people aren't very loving who look at people and say, we've got rules. You people aren't very loving who say that there are some restrictions and we have to be careful about what we do. Now let me ask you, is that what verse 9 says? And then you move into verse 10? Not at all. As a matter of fact, he says, because the Father so loves me, and because I love the Father and I want to abide in His love, I keep His commandments. I want you to continue, and verse 10 he says, I'll tell you how to continue. If you want to continue in His love, the only way to do that is to keep the commandments. To keep my commandments. What I've told you to do, you must do. And the natural step from that is that if you don't keep His commandments, you are not abiding in Him. I don't care what you say. You're not abiding in Him. Because if we were to take that step back to the second of that tripart verse and say, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ decided today, I don't want to abide in the Father's commandments today. I think I'll do what I want to do. We would all understand, no, you can't do that. You can't tell God you want to do your own thing. You're not abiding in His love if you're not keeping His commandments. But what about us? He says, that's what I'm saying. He says, you know, to abide in me means that you've got to come to the place where you have an active dependence and a loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That I will live in obedience to His commands because I want to abide in His love. And I realize that I cannot abide in Him apart from keeping His commandments. It is impossible to do. His love is a constant cycle to us. And what He's asking is that this cycle would never be broken. The Father would love the Son would love His disciples, and His disciples would love others. Who breaks the cycle? We do. How do we break it? By not keeping His commandments. We break it because we don't live like He wants us to live. We don't live the way He wants us to live. This is a tall order. This is something that is extremely difficult for us to do. And as we look at these things, we recognize that He has clarity in what He is saying. He has made it very clear that there is no question how you're supposed to do this because I've given you the pattern. Do you understand that? I am not telling you to do something that I didn't do. You know, I read a story. Somebody actually sent it to me in email. So January 23rd, 2010. Longtime state senator R.C. Soles, 74, shot one of two intruders at his home just outside Tabor City, North Carolina, around 5 p.m. Sunday. The victim was taken to South Carolina Hospital. His injuries were not life-threatening. He's being treated. So here's a state senator who had some folks break into his home. Two men broke into his home, and he shot one of them. I fully support him. I'll loan him a gun. If somebody breaks into my house, and by Virginia law, I have to feel my life is threatened, I will shoot them. And as soon as you break in, I feel my life is threatened, just so you know. this man shot these intruders. I think he's perfectly right. I'm glad he did. I hope they lock these guys up, throw away the keys. See, what's that story have to do with this? Let me read a little more of it. I left out a couple words. At the very beginning of this article, longtime anti-gun advocate, State Senator R.C. Soles. Here is the comment. The senator, who has made a career of being against gun ownership for the general public, didn't hesitate to defend himself with his own gun, which he believed was when he believed he was in immediate danger. Here's a guy who has, in his career as a state senator, spent his life on an anti-gun soapbox. But what he was preaching and what he was doing were two different things. He's got a gun. He wants to protect himself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ's instructions to us are completely different. When the Lord makes his statement at the end of verse 9, "Continue you in my love." And in verse 10, he says, you know, if you keep my commandments, that's how you abide in my love. He's not looking at us and saying, I'm telling you to do something that I haven't done. He's looking at us and saying, I simply want you to do what I have done. I have kept my Father's commandments, and that's how I was able to abide in his love. And now what I'm asking you to do is keep my commandments. And in so doing, you will abide in him. Now the next step of this is he's going to begin to talk about joy. And when he talks about joy, he connects it with these two things. We think of joy as the freedom to do whatever I feel like. He's going to connect it with something different. But it is clear that when he comes to this passage and he's talking about the how of abiding in him, that the how is answered by saying, in order to abide in him, you must keep his commandments. We don't think that way very often. We simply don't look at it like that. We want to think of abiding in him as some kind of a mystical thing where I work myself up into a state and I have this mindset and some of that is there. But the foundation of it is very simply living a life of obedience to our Father, loving him. And loving him means living in obedience to him. If we're going to abide in him, here is the first step in the foundation. And I should say here is the foundation. You have to keep his commandments. You can't make up your own rules. When we read the scripture and we understand what he wants us to do, we have to do it. If you're not doing it, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I want to be honest with you, you're not abiding in him. Don't fool yourself and don't think you're fooling anyone else. If you're not living in accordance with his commandments, you're not abiding in him. And that's a difficult thing for us to comprehend, but it is truth. And the Lord said, I want you to understand that, and I want you to understand it's possible to do. To abide in his love means that you're going to have to keep his commandments. And I trust this morning that you'll put that foundation down and you'll see that here is the starting place if we're going to abide in him. Find his commandments and keep them. And thereby, we abide in him. Let's bow for prayer, please. With our heads bowed and out of courtesy for those who are here, let me ask you not to look around for a moment. We're going to play through a stanza of the song, More Love to Thee, in just a moment. And as we often do, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Perhaps this morning as we look at the love of God and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would acknowledge that you've never trusted in him as Savior. Maybe you've been playing a game or you've just not understood it. But do you know how much he loves you? How much he wants you to be saved? This morning when we stand, if you're not saved, Pastor Shank is in the back of the auditorium. I'll be in the front. We'd love to help you get that settled. But maybe this morning there's someone who would need to say, Pastor, I have never thought of it this way. That the very simple truth is that I have to keep his commandments to abide in him. And I want to put that foundation down. If that's true for you this morning, say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I just want to get that settled in my own heart. That to abide in him, I must keep his commandments. And this morning I'll leave with that one thought. And I trust the Lord will help you to get it there. If you'll say that this morning, Pastor, I want to leave with that this morning and understand that to abide in him, I must keep his commandments. Would you say that with me this morning by raising your hand and then putting it back down? All right, good. Don't fool yourself. You can't abide in Him without keeping His commandments. And I trust this morning that we'll be determined to do that. We're going to stand and pray in just a second, and ladies are going to play through this song, and I'm going to ask every person to talk to the Lord. Maybe this morning you want to come to the front and pray, or you want to talk to somebody. Feel free to slip out and do that. We'll help you in any way that we can. Let's stand together, please. Now, Father, as we're standing before You, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, what clarity there is in this little verse, that as the Father, You love the Son. And that same love was demonstrated to us and brought the Lord Jesus Christ to His death on the cross. But Lord, You've commanded us to continue in that kind of love. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to understand that. And Lord, first and foremost, help us to determine to keep Your commandments in order to claim that we abide in You. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray. Now, with our heads bowed, as they play this morning, if you need to come and pray here at the front, you're welcome to. But I'll ask every person, will you talk to the Lord and say, here's what I've learned today. You can look this way if you would, please. As always, if we can help you this morning, let us know, and we'll answer any question that we can to help you. Great to have you here this morning. We're planning to have our services tonight at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 4:45 tonight, and so we'll look forward to seeing you back for that. Mark Myers, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Here, Father.